Just in case you weren't cold enough, some rain for you this morning. Good morning. Welcome to our service today. Whether you're worshipping in the calm of a cozy room, watching the wind, rain and lightning outside, while you're inside, watching today's service as you sit in the warm, or as you're outside sitting in the sunshine. Think about it. What's the weather like for you today? Today's focus is storms. I once read that as long as we have a planet that spins, there will be storms. Storms are the natural consequence of physical forces affecting the Earth. I love storms. Strange, I know, but I love them. In fact, I've sometimes found myself going outside, standing in it, just so that I can feel the storm all around me. I've done it ever since I was a child, and I still do it to this day. Ecologists tell us that storms are necessary for renewal and refreshment of the earth. Ecosystems are nourished, life is sustained, the earth is regenerated. Welcome to this service about storms, where we hope your faith will be nourished, sustained, and regenerated. In this place, may we experience God revealed in Jesus, where storms are calmed, injustices reversed, and peace is experienced by all. And now our acknowledgement of land. The Ancient of Days breathed life into this vast land and her peoples. From time beyond our reckoning, the people of the Kaurna people have blessed this place through their law and customs. We honour and celebrate the heritage of all First Nations leaders, past, present and future. May we walk gently and respectfully on this land. In the darkness of the storm, we light the Christ candle to bring sustained life. Soon. In the thunder of the rain, we pour the water to regenerate our parched community. And in the wind of change, we look to the word to nourish and inform our lives. Our call to worship. There are responses for you. We invite the elements of the storm to worship with us.
The wild winds and dark clouds, the lightning flash and the thunder roll.
We invite the hurricane to join us in wonder.
The fierce gales and blinding rains, the crashing waves and swaying trees.
But with our invitation, there are questions.
Where is our God in all of this? Where is our God in the storm?
Where is our God in the cyclone?
Spinning the wind from heaven above, or present where the spiral hits the ground.
Where is our God in the hurricane?
Sending forth wild winds in anger, or present when the rain strikes the land.
Where is our God in the tsunami?
Forcing a wall of water onto the shore, or present with the victims left on the sand.
Yes, where is our God in the storm?
God in the storm.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, as we face the storms of this world, we celebrate the wonder of the wind and the weather. Help us to see your presence not only in the forces of nature, but also among those who suffer from natural disasters. Teach us to recognize that your wisdom is embedded in all natural forces, a wisdom that guides, controls, and limits them. In the name of Christ, who is the wisdom of God, renewing all things in creation. Amen. Let us sing, I, the Lord of sea and sky. Stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Would you join me in our prayers of confession? When we found it difficult to see God's goodness, when we have doubted God's purpose, when hurricanes and flash floods have hit, when we have assumed God's absence in the aftermath of human suffering, we are sorry.
We are sorry.
We are sorry we have blamed.
We are sorry.
Christ hears our confession, forgives our sin, and calls us again to faith. Christ, assure us of your purpose, your goodness, and your love. Our God is not high in heaven playing wild games with nature. Our God is deep within the storm, feeling its power and potential. Our God is the suffering God, revealed at Calvary, and suffering with all who suffer in the aftermath of storms. We are forgiven.
Amen.
Our two readings today have a very stormy nature to them, which is only fitting given we're in the season of creation and we're looking at storms. The first one, the psalmist is describing the power of God. By this time, the children of Israel have been exposed to the many gods of the Middle East. They know about the gods of thunder and lightning. Ah, but they say, but our God created the thunder and lightning. And then in a similar vein, we have the story from Luke's Gospel where Jesus is in the boat when a storm hits at sea. You'll know the story well. Pam's going to read it for us today. Thanks, Pam.
Psalm 107, verse 1, and then 23 to 32. Give thanks to God who is good and whose mercy endures forever. Some went down to the sea in ships and plied their trade in the deep waters. They beheld your works, O God, and your wonder in the deep. Then you spoke, and a stormy wind arose, which tossed high the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heavens and fell back to the depths. Their hearts melted because of their peril. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at the end of their wits' end. Then they cried to God in their trouble, and you delivered them from their distress. You stilled the storm to a whisper and quietened the waves of the sea. Then were they glad because of the calm, and you brought them to the harbour they were bound for. Let them give thanks to you, O God, for your mercy and the wonders you do for your children. Let them exalt you in the congregation of the people and praise you in the council of the elders. And Luke 8, 22 to 25, Jesus calms a storm. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A gale swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him, and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and raging waves. They ceased. There was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the wind and the waters, and they obey him?"
And now a meditation for you, written today by Trevor Gill, and it's called Storm by Sea. What a wonderful picture we are looking at, storm by sea. I could imagine being in that storm. "There is no fury like a storm at sea that builds a sky full of maniacs and waves like crashing boulders with crests that buffet and cut the blades. What happens to the stars in a storm? Do the sun and moon abscond? What of the shattered colonnades that held up the clouds? Now they swirl around us in a wind that screams. Spare a ridgepole to save us from the biting hail and from breathing water and from tasting anger. Whose wild temper created this chaos? The pulse of the sea is racing, and peril prods from the depths, and the wind moans and tears at the fragile pellicle of shelter. Hold on with white and icy knuckles and pray that it eases soon. But when the pitch and toss has passed and the gale yields to a hole, chilling shadows cross the pensive mind, because the sea has a memory deep, and there will be a next time." Now we're going to have a song called "Hallelujah, the Great Storm is Over." It's written by Bob Franke, who wrote the song, and his daughter, who had orthopaedic problems and couldn't walk, and she's mentioned in the song. There are two mentions of her. So now let us sit and watch and sing along if you'd like to. "Hallelujah, the Great Storm is Over."
Tell.
I don't know if you remember the film from many years ago. I think it was one of the first disaster films, The Poseidon Adventure. The whole ship was turned upside down and people had to fight their way up to the engine room to escape. Titanic, of course, not nearly as dramatic. There's only an angle on everything. It's not completely upside down. But I don't know if you've ever experienced a storm at sea. Normally, when there's a storm at sea, there's a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing, and as you walk down the corridors or on the deck, you have to keep your balance. Remember to hold on. But last year, we were at sea in the Pacific when the boat began to list. That's not write down things one under each other. That's take on a lean. And it did. Now, we were told afterwards it was 9 degrees. But let me tell you, when you're in it, it feels a lot more dramatic than that. We were sitting at dinner with some people that we'd met and we enjoyed their company when we were just served coffee and the boat listed and did not right again. Coffee, you might know, generally served at a warmish temperature. So the first thing, of course, was to grab all the coffee cups, the little teapots, the pots of hot water, and the glassware to stop it sliding off the table. Unfortunately, June and I were sat at the low end once the list began. But we were saved. Everybody acted swiftly. The safest place for coffee is to swallow it. It's unlikely to come up again. If it does, you've got a whole other list of problems. You see, smaller sailing ships have little walls around their table to stop things falling off. But the arrogance of sailing in a cruise line is that there are no such safety things. The listing, which did not recover for some time, was also accompanied by sounds from the kitchen of smashing crockery and glassware. Cries of alarm. I'm not sure what language they were in, but you can bet people in the kitchen were having a worse time than what we were having at the table. An announcement came over. Please take care wherever you are. If you're in your staterooms, please stay there. This will be fixed in a little while. It was very dramatic. All of a sudden, the world was changed. I can't imagine being on either the Titanic or the good ship Poseidon when those dramatic movies were made. It was dramatic enough for me. The ancient peoples feared the thunder and the lightning. So much so that they assigned the use of thunder and lightning to the chief god in their pantheon. Clearly the one with the most power, and always male. Goddesses never get a look in with lightning, let me tell you. That's clearly the spear that the gods aim at the earth. Sometimes because humans have done the wrong thing, sometimes that's just how ancient gods are. They're capricious. You wouldn't want to be friends with one of them. Our Aboriginal people also had lightning gods who threw axes at the clouds to create lightning. In northern Australia, there's a lightning season. It comes before the wet begins. So this dry lightning can start many fires. And the ancient peoples of this land have learnt to live with the fire and contain it with fire stick farming. The names of the ancient gods, you know them. Jupiter and Zeus, that's just a translation. Thor from the north. You might not know Indra or Raijin, but I'm sure you've heard of Baal in the Bible. All gods of thunder and lightning. There are many famous storms written of in the Bible. Noah and the Ark is probably the one we remember the best. But also the storm that caused Jonah to be thrown out of the boat. A shipwreck for the Apostle Paul. And of course this story of Jesus and the storm. The psalmist wants us to notice. You remember all those gods we've been hearing about? Our God is even bigger, even better, even more powerful. You think your God is powerful? Wait till you hear about our God, who created everything, including the sun, the moon, the lightning and the thunder. Anything you fear, our God has control of. We are not afraid. They weren't great sailors either, I might add. They might have been more afraid had they spent more time in boats. You really feel a storm when you're on a boat. Sometimes people want to put all the storms in the Bible down to the storms we have in life, to use them as parables and examples for what we all experience. Sometimes we speak in our life, oh, it's plain sailing at the moment. All the storm clouds are brewing. I don't know if you've ever had an argument with a friend and said, well, at least we've cleared the air. We've released some of that tension because storms are about tension. A build-up in the north of Australia, it's very obvious. People become very anxious and antsy during the season of the lightning. The build-up, waiting for the wet to come, has an effect on the humans on the ground. The storm is the resetting of our global systems. Clouds somehow, in a way I do not understand, become positively and negatively charged. And when that happens, a spark goes between them to set things straight. The ionization is over and they're back to neutral until they knock more electrons off each other and it begins again. Sometimes it's between the clouds and the earth. When I was learning physics many years ago, did you know it's not just lightning strikes down, but lightning goes up as well. And where they meet, it's so quick, our eyes cannot perceive it. It's not so much we're struck by lightning as we're joined by lightning. I may have told you the very embarrassing story I had one day in an op shop. where I picked up a $3 set of rosary beads and said, "Is this real gold?" And the girl at the desk who knew me well said, "I guarantee it's actual gold." And I said, "If you lie about the rosary beads, you know you get struck by lightning." And there was a look of horror upon everyone in the shop, because the day before, someone in Mount Barker had been struck by lightning, and he was a leader on a Christian camp. And people were speculating what he might have done wrong, other than standing out on a hill where he was the tallest thing there. One of my times when I only open my mouth to change fate. What's the thing about storms? They don't last. A storm comes. We see it approaching, maybe. If we're standing looking out to sea, we can see the waves roiling as they come. Then the thunder, and we count between the lightning flash and the thunder, tells you how close it is. Sometimes we see the flash and the crack immediately. Then we know the lightning is very near indeed. All because light travels quicker than sound does. Hard for us to imagine. We're so centered on ourselves. But storms in life don't last either. Some awful thing that has happened to you. Some truly dreadful thing over which you had no control. They don't last. Of course, we like to keep on and on about the storms we have weathered, as if we deserve a medal from some cosmic deity. Storms do not last. I don't know if you've heard the story of a Persian king who went out to battle, and he asked his advisor to be ready for when he came home. The advisor thought long and hard. What if the king had been successful in the battle? What would we write above the gate for the king's return? But what if the king had been unsuccessful? We had to write something that will do both things. He thought long and hard. He consulted the oracles from times gone by and finally put the words up, obviously in Persian and not in English. "This too shall pass." The great things about storms is their passing. Then we can sing, "Alleluia, the great storm is over." If you feel at the moment that you are in the midst of a mind-numbing storm where you can think of nothing else but the problems that you have or the people that you're dealing with, we remind ourselves again who the Lord, who can calm the storm, can calm the storms we experience as well. Alleluia. The great storm is over. Sometimes people say what happened on Good Friday was an almighty storm. The clouds covered the earth. There was an earthquake, Matthew tells us. And then a few days later, it was as if there was a new beginning. We try in many ways to explain so that we can all understand. But I think that great mystery of between Good Friday and Easter morning needs to remain a mystery. But the great storm is over. Amen. A song to a familiar tune. When the storms of life surround me. Please stand if you're able.
Creator, through your love you have given us these gifts to share. Accept our offerings as an expression of our deep thanks and our concern for those in need, especially those suffering the effects of natural disasters. Amen. I hope you've received your notices this week or picked them up as you came in today. As always, our church is a very busy place, even when it's rainy outside. So why not come into the warm and join some of the lovely activities that will be happening during the weeks to come. On October the 5th, there's a special seniors' morning tea, and everyone is invited to that. So hopefully you mark that one down in your diary so that you'll be able to join in. And the Dalwoodie community are going to be providing hospitality that morning, so please join in and enjoy their hospitality. There's a note about Kim Perling's trio and a reminder to buy some tickets. So, of course, we'll all be coming to that. And there's also some other information in there about gateways and Renew. So please have a look at that. And, of course, always look at your roster, because there's always something that you need to be doing or that we need to be doing together. So please do that. And now our prayers of the people. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are the creator of the world and you sustain it by your power. We thank you for its fruitfulness, beauty, and the wonder and love it inspires. We recognize that changes in the climate are already damaging the ecosystems which sustain life. We pray for scientists seeking to understand the complexity of what is happening, for the politicians faced with big decisions, and for your wisdom for all who are seeking to reduce the threat of climate change to this and future generations. Lord Jesus, we remember that you gave your life for everyone to be reconciled to you and find full life in all its fullness. We pray that as we enjoy reconciliation and new life in you, so your Spirit will open our hearts and transform our attitudes, both to other people and to your creation. Please make our lives more totally fruitful, so that in our actions we may work for the good of all. Help us to pursue the well-being of all of your children, both in this generation and in times to come. God, we bring before you in our prayers areas of the world that suffer great environmental problems, including flooding, storms, drought, and uncertain weather patterns. We pray for all who are experiencing storms in their life. We pray for the sick, the dying, those affected by domestic violence, those experiencing mental health issues, and those finding daily living more and more difficult. God, help us to be your willing servants and bearers of love and reconciliation. And now let us pray this version of the Lord's Prayer. Dear one, closer to us than our own hearts, farther from us than the most distant star, you are beyond naming. May your powerful presence become obvious, not only in the undeniable glory of the sky, but also in the seemingly base and common processes of the earth. Give us what we need day by day to keep body and soul together, because clever as you have made us, we still owe our existence to you. We recognise that to be reconciled with you, we must live peaceably and justly with other human beings, putting hate and bitterness behind us. We are torn between our faith in your goodness and our awareness of the evil in humanity. So deliver us from the temptation to despair. Yours alone is the universe and all its majesty and beauty. So it is. Amen. Now we're going to look at a lovely slide that says, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass, it is about learning to dance in the rain. And I also invite you to come for tea and coffee after our service finishes this morning. And I want to make a special mention of Ruth Pitt's beautiful flowers this morning. If you get a chance, come out and give them a sniff, because there are sweet peas in there and they smell exquisite. Thank you, Ruth, for the lovely flowers. So now let's have our final hymn for today. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Sit if you want to, or stand up if you're able. Let us sing together. Thank you.
in peace. Dare to share, dare to care, dare to love. For this is what God in Christ wills for you. And when there are storms, remember you are not alone, but surrounded by our God, Creator, Sustainer, and Comforter. Amen. Our blessing song. May the feet of God walk with you. Thank you.